Remember reading the very lovely story of a man who had become an English professor, a professor of the English language. And he had ended up in that position not least because of the influence of a teacher that he had many, many years previously, who had instilled in him the love of the English language. And discovering many years later that this English teacher from years ago was still alive, he decided to write her a letter expressing his thanks for all that she had done. She received the letter, and in her reply to this professor of English, she said this, and I quote, "I cannot tell you how much your note meant to me. I am in my 80s now, living alone in a small room, cooking my own meals, lonely, and rather like the last leaf of autumn lingering behind. You may be interested to note that I taught school for almost 50 years, and yours is one of the few notes of appreciation that I have ever received. It came on a cold morning, and it cheered me as nothing has done for years." Quite a moving little letter. True story. The power of words to encourage. That man sat down and he wrote a few words on a piece of paper. He posted it in a box and sent it to someone, and it really was extraordinary how meaningful it was. Karl Marx once said this, "Give me 26 lead soldiers and I will conquer the world." He was meaning the 26 letters of the alphabet. The power of words. The power of words. As with other things in life, words have, I'm sure you can appreciate, an amazing power to either build up or pull down, to bless or to curse, to heal or to hurt. And in a nutshell, that is what this section at the end of Malachi chapter 3 is about. It's actually about words. That's one of the key threads that runs through these last verses of Malachi chapter 3. And more to the point, how words can affect our eternal destiny. Jesus said this in Matthew chapter 12 and verse 36. He said this, "But I tell you that men will have to give account on the day of judgment for every careless word that they have spoken." And then he said this, "For by your words you will be acquitted, and by your words you will be condemned." Words. And so today, just in the time that we have, we think first of all of the words of the cynic. And we have them in verse 13 and 14. Let me just read them to you. If you've got your Bible, just follow what it says. Verse 13, "You have said harsh things against me, says the Lord. Yet you ask," and this has been a feature, "what have we said against you? You have said, it is futile to serve God. What did we gain by carrying out his requirements and going about like mourners before the Lord Almighty? But now we call the arrogant blessed. Certainly the evildoers prosper, and even those who challenge God escape." These are the words of the people. And sadly, and I'm using the word cynic, sadly, many of the people in Malachi's day had become cynical. You know what a cynic is. A cynic is a person who doubts human sincerity and goodness. I don't know if you've ever met somebody who's really cynical. Maybe life has made them cynical, hard, and just sarcastic about everything. And if a sincere or kind thing is done, the cynic just knocks it down very, very quickly. And some of the people in Malachi's day had literally become cynics. Now, I hope that there's not very many, if any, cynics here this morning, but cynicism is a thing that can actually touch all of our hearts. One of the things that these people said, and you'll see it there in verse 14, here are these people. They're saying it's futile to serve God. What did we gain by doing all the things that we ever did for God? What did we gain? Here I am at the end of my life, and what did I gain by all that I have ever done for God? It's not the first time that that sentiment has come into people's hearts. One of the writers says this. It's a very revealing question. What did we gain? One writer says this. This is the embarrassing question that occasionally comes to people midway through their lives, even as believers. And the painful question that can sometimes even come to people at the end of years of ministry. Are you shocked by that? The question is asked, what did we gain by all the stuff that we did? And you know, folks, if unchecked, here's the point, that sentiment can lead to real cynicism. Let me look at it another way. What this does here, and these people are really, they've become cynical. What have we gained by all this service to God? Sure, look at the people who had no time for God. They seem to be prospering, and everything seems to be going well for them. And here I am, as it were, trying to serve God, and all I get is pain and trouble. And I know for a fact, because I know the human heart, that kind of sentiment is not far from some of our hearts this morning. That is the kind of thing that can come into our hearts. Looked at another way, this uncovers a whole area in our hearts when we are tempted to envy and discontentment. And these are deep and destructive tendencies. Just on a lighter note and almost slightly frivolous, yesterday we had a very good big breakfast, and at the end there was some extra food left, and a few people who came in at the end got a massive fry, and some of us were maybe looking with envy in our hearts at the amount of stuff and the number of fried eggs on their plate. But I should maybe speak about myself there. But that's, you know, envy. It can be a very frivolous thing. But we're talking here about a very serious thing. What did we gain? Now we call the arrogant blessed. Let me ask you this morning a question, folks. Where is your heart this morning? Is it in danger of being filled with envy because of what's happening with somebody else? Is it in danger of being filled with a discontentment and a complaining spirit? That's what was happening with these people. They were filled with envy and complaint and discontentment about how things were going, and they were in danger of becoming real cynics. If unchecked, let me say this, if unchecked, envy and discontentment and all that kind of thing in our hearts, you know what it'll do? It'll make you a very unsettled person, and actually at heart it'll make you a very unhappy person. It really will. One of the old Puritans, Thomas Watson, said this, "There is no better antidote against coveting that which is another's than being content with that which is your own." Do you tend to go round life thinking, you know, they've got it far better than I have? And the envy comes in and the discontentment comes in. The Apostle Paul said in Philippians 2, I have learned to be content whatever the circumstances. I can do everything through Christ who gives me strength. And folks, it's the gospel that's the antidote to this kind of stuff. It's Christ. It's knowing him and rejoicing in him that will counter the cynicism in our hearts. The second thing I want you to notice is the words of the believer. Notice the context. These people are saying harsh words. They're being cynical and all that kind of stuff. But notice what it says in verse 16. Then those who feared the Lord talked with each other, and the Lord listened and heard. Here's another set of words. The words of the believer. So here's a situation, folks, where people were being cynical and complaining and all this kind of stuff. But in the midst of it, there was another group of people. And verse 16 tells us that there were people who really did fear the Lord. And they got together and they talked with each other and no doubt encouraged each other and helped each other. I think of a situation, and I'll not go into the details, where, if I could put it this way, it was a situation where some pretty cynical, faithless words were spoken about a particular thing. And you know what happened? The devil came into that situation and he began to sow little questions and doubts in the minds of even believers who were there. You know, does God really care in light of all of this stuff? And then a man got up. And he shared from his own experience of how the Lord had helped him through some really difficult days and really difficult circumstances. And you know what? Through those words, the whole situation turned around. Needy souls were helped, struggling faith was rekindled, and hope was renewed. And it's a lovely example in some ways of what's going on here. Here were these people, some of them were being downright cynical. Verse 16, then those who feared the Lord talked together, and the Lord listened and heard. What does it mean to fear the Lord? It's not a cringing fear. We fear the Lord, but we're not afraid of the Lord. We revere the Lord. We love the Lord. We want to serve the Lord. We have a reverence for the Lord. Let me ask you this morning, folks. What's your voice? What kind of words are coming out of your lips today? Are they the words of the cynic? A bit cynical? Or are they the words of those who truly fear the Lord and love the Lord Jesus? Let me ask you something this morning. Think about your words over the past week. What's your voice been like? We watched the program about the singing on the television, about the voice. But let me ask you, what's your voice? Is it a voice just of negativity and complaint and envy and discontentment and, dare I say, even cynicism? Or is it a voice of faith and hope and love and possibility and goodness and kindness and all of these things? It's a very simple question, isn't it? But it's a challenging one. You know, our hearts, or rather our words, do you know what they do, folks? Our words actually expose what our hearts are like. Did you know that? I'm sure you do. Jesus said this in Luke chapter 6 and verse 45. It's a verse that's worth pondering this afternoon and through this week. He said this, "For out of the abundance of a man's heart, his mouth speaks." Out of the heart, you speak. And actually, what's in your heart is exposed for all to see. If you think about it, it's challenging, isn't it? And the last thing that I want to share with you is this, the words of the Lord. Verse 17, "They will be mine, says the Lord, in the day when I make up my treasured possession." Or in the King James Version, "In that day when I make up my jewels." I don't think we've sang it in my time, but in Kilkeel, did you ever sing when he cometh to make up his jewels? Yeah. You're probably saying, it's time you sang it again. I remember singing that hymn as a young boy in the church I grew up. And by the way, now that I've mentioned it, like, please don't think that we've avoided it or anything. Not at all. Do you remember that hymn? When he cometh to make up his jewels, all his jewels, precious jewels, his loved and his own, like the stars of the morning, his bright crown adorning, they shall shine in their beauty, bright gems for his crown. Actually, when William Cushing, who wrote that hymn, he was thinking of Malachi chapter 3. And there's this lovely picture painted here of God's people who really do fear him and who love him and who aren't going down the road of the cynics, being described as the precious jewels, a treasured possession that the Lord has. And there's this other lovely picture which I just draw to your attention in passing at the end of verse 16 where a scroll of remembrance is written, and in that scroll are the names of those who truly love and fear the Lord. I don't know about you, but does that not make us also think about the Lamb's Book of Life and how at the end of the day there will be this book written? And in that book are the names of those who love the Lord Jesus, who have sought to serve the Lord Jesus and follow the Lord Jesus. And let me ask you this morning a very simple question. I may or may not have put it like this many times in my time here, but I put it to you this morning. Is your name in the Lamb's Book of Life? Is your name, as it were, on that scroll of remembrance of those who love the Lord Jesus? That despite all the cynics around us and the danger of cynicism touching our own hearts, that by the grace of God, we will not go down that road, but that we will seek to honor and love the Lord Jesus. In a world that is full of negativity and hardness and cynicism and envy and complaining and discontentment, that our voice will be different. So where are you this morning? Are you amongst those who fear and reverence the Lord? Or are you amongst the complainers, the cynics, and the envious? And you know, as I finish on the gospel, as any preacher must always finish on. Because the good news of the gospel this morning is this, folks. So whatever you may feel about what I've said and the challenge of where are you this morning, where am I this morning, here's the good news. If it's true that out of the abundance of the heart, a man or a woman speak, then the root of the matter is the heart. So what can change the heart? It's the gospel. And the good news of the gospel this morning is this, folks, that the Lord Jesus Christ came into this world and died on the cross and shed his blood and rose again on the third day, that whosoever shall believe upon him shall know the experience of their hearts being changed and transformed. And when our hearts are changed, then our words are changed. And I know that there are times we all make a mess of it, and we can all think about that. But generally speaking, when the Lord gives us new hearts, new words will begin to flow. And instead of our tendency, which is in all of us, it's in me and it's in you, there's a tendency in all of us to go down the road of being cynical and critical and complaining and negative, that the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ steps in, touches our hearts, and puts new words into our lips. That's the gospel. And that's what excites me about the gospel. I can't think of any other thing in the world that can begin to change the human heart. The heart of the human problem is the problem of the human heart. Who can change the heart? The Lord Jesus Christ. Praise his name. He can change the heart. And he can give us new hearts as we put our trust in him. And then he puts new words on our lips. So folks, as I finish by saying this. Remember the words of our Lord Jesus. I read them to you at the start of this sermon. And he said this, "For by your words you will be acquitted on that last day, and by your words you'll be condemned." You see, there's a sense that already the day of judgment and what will happen on that day of judgment is being worked out, and it's being worked out even in our words. The type of person that you are this coming week will indicate your heart. The words that you say this week will indicate your heart. Every single one of us have a choice as we go from this place this morning. Will we go out into the kingdom of morn with words of honoring the Lord, blessing the Lord, blessing our neighbors? Or will we go down the road of the cynic, the complainer, the discontented, and the negative? Praise God that we don't have to do that. And we can step out for Jesus and be acquitted by a new heart and the new words that come from a new heart.